From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 22nd day of May 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. And a bit later in the program, the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, will be along to look at the cash grain market. Dave Dickey will be here with the Ag News for the afternoon, and Drew Lerner will be here with a look at the weather forecast. As we make our way through this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report, it is, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world from the University of Illinois.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Well, let's check the numbers on this Wednesday. In Chicago, futures finished the day higher in the wheat. Nearby July contract at 568, rather at 688 and a half, was up 8 cents. September at 695 and three quarters, up 7 3/4. The hard red in Kansas City, a settlement price for the harvest month, July at 743 and a quarter, 4 3/4 higher. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby July contract, 658 and a half, up 18 and a half cents today. September at $5.59 and three quarters, up 13 cents. December futures, 530 and a half, up 10 and a quarter. And the March at 541, up 9 3/4. May corn futures, $5.49, up 9 3/4. July of next year at 5.56 and a quarter, a dime higher. July soybean futures, 14.94 and a quarter, up 16 cents. August at $14.05 and a half, up 15 and a quarter. In September, $13 even, up 12. November beans, $12.38 and 3 quarters, up 18. And January futures, $12.45 and a quarter, up 17 and 3 quarters. March contract at $12.49, up 17 cents. Bean futures in the meal at $4.40.60, that's up $1.90. And bean oil at $49.64, up 16. Live cattle futures on the afternoon finished the nearby June contract at $120 and $1.10 lower. August contract at $119.22. $2.50, down $1.15, and October live cattle at $122.52.5, 95 cents lower. August feeders at $144.32.5, down $2.15. The September at $146.70, down $2.20, and the lean hogs finished the June at $94.55 per 100 pounds, down, or rather up $2.15. July at $93.42.5, $1.67.5 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A 40% chance of showers, partly sunny skies, high near 75 degrees. On a west wind at 15 miles an hour tonight, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, low 56. Tomorrow, 40% chance of showers, mainly before 1 p.m., cloudy, a high of 63 degrees, and then tomorrow evening, mostly clear and a low of 41. Friday, sunny skies and 66. Friday evening, partly cloudy and 48. And Saturday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny and 67 degrees. Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 54. Sunday, showers and thunderstorms and 70. Sunday night, showers and thunderstorms continue, mostly cloudy and 57. More showers and thunderstorms on Monday, Memorial Day, partly sunny and a high of 75 and mostly cloudy on Monday evening and 60 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny skies and high near 80 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour when we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Let's check the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil July contract at $94.20 a barrel is now down $1.97. Gasoline trading at $2.82.5 in the RBOB. That's the wholesale price, down 2.5 cents for the day. Ethanol at $2.64.8, a penny and 6 cents higher, and the difference between the two is just 17 2/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $4.18. That's down 6 tenths of a cent on the afternoon. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.87 2/10. That's 5 6/10 of a cent lower. Gold futures finished at $1,367.40 an ounce, down $10.20. And the U.S. dollar is now trading at 84.33. That's up 0.47 on the afternoon. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 22nd day of May 2013. On the phone line, let's check now with Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson. She's right here in Champaign County, Illinois, and will help us make our way through the futures. First, Jackie, I want to thank you so much for writing a letter to my father as he and I made our way to Washington, D.C., along with many other World War II and Korean era veterans yesterday on the Central Illinois Honor Flight. I can tell you that that and many other letters made a great deal of difference to him, and wanted to express a thank you note, especially to you and to Elaine Cubb, and also to Wayne Nelson, who wrote letters to my dad. And it really made a difference to him and to me as well. Thank you so very much.
Well, you're welcome. His service has certainly made a difference to all of us, because we don't know how free we'd be without the sacrifices that everybody made all these years and continues to make.
I got to tell you, there were a couple of things that happened yesterday while we were there. Two things. You mentioned freedom. The Korean era vets all had shirts on. They were yellow. And you can see these online on the Will Ag website. I posted them there. And they say on the back of them, freedom is not free. And I can't tell you how many times they were stopped and simply asked to turn around. And people took pictures of the back of that shirt. The same thing happened with the World War II vets. Their shirts were blue. And the shirt, teachers stopped them in particular. The shirt said, if you can read this, thank a teacher. And if you can read this in English, thank a veteran. So these were things that happened with these vets on the way out. I can tell you that if you are a Korean era vet, or if you are a World War II vet, or you know someone that is, and they can travel at all, this is an event that you simply have to go on. There is no way around not going. I don't know why you couldn't go. It's a stunning event. When we arrived, Jackie, last night back in Springfield, and it's only a day trip, which is really important to these folks because many of them have lots of medications. We had a 737, and it was full. I think there were 167 of us on board. We had 46 wheelchairs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, with us. So there's no reason not to go. It's on the website, willag.org.
Yep.
Honorflight.org, if you want to go look up and see where your local one is. And they fly out of all states out and all places, a lot of states and many places, and you should just look it up. I don't usually take time for myself, but this one's for you and really important. Go look at the website, look at the photos, and it is truly amazing. When we arrived back in Springfield, Jackie, last night, I bet there were, I want to say 2,000, but let's say 1,000 people. And we did not stop hearing cheers and being thanked and having people reach out to touch these heroes from the time that we left the terminal to the time that we got to the baggage claim.
Yeah.
It was
the lump in your throat.
Yeah, the full length. It was truly amazing. I was moved. Dad was moved. All the vets were moved. Go see it for yourself at willag.org. Okay. I'll step down. Thank you, Jackie, for writing the note.
You're welcome.
And thanks to everybody on the Honor Flight, folks, for helping me take Dad. It made a big difference to me. Let's talk about the marketplace, because when I left, I was kind of thinking, hey, we put a lot of corn in the ground last week, and that's probably it. And here I am, and I did not look yesterday, and I didn't actually look at the markets until just before we got on the air, Jackie. And I see green and a dime higher in corn. What's happening?
Well, we got a big boost this morning when we saw 360,000 metric tons of corn sold to half of it to China and half of it to unknown, which is probably China anyway. And that started a lot of, I would say, short covering. As the day went on, you know, there's been more and more talk about replant on new crop corn out in Iowa because people rushed to mud it in. We're seeing rain on the radar, you know, in Wisconsin and parts of Iowa. And so now I think we're starting to develop a few concerns about whether or not will the rest of the crop get in a timely fashion. And I think it's very hard for the trade to ignore the fact that we put in 43% of the crop last week, which means 43% of the crop will be pollinating probably the third week in July. Not an ideal time. And so when the ethanol production report came out, up 2.1%, it was just hidey-ho and away we go. And on the close, we saw all kinds of things happening. We saw, you know, the highs for the days come in on the close, basically, and very significant closes. You know, we closed over the 50-day moving average in July corn, first time since March 27th. December closed over the 10-day. Significant July beans put in new highs on the close. In fact, we blew away the old high from February 22nd at 1483.5 and closed at 1494.25. September was over 13 for the first time since March 28th. November closed over the 50-day, for the first time since January 28th. And so that was being supported also by hard red wheat and concerns that there may be some more severe weather coming out there. It was just like a perfect storm today is what it was. And you just saw this market surge higher and actually close higher for a change. So this is one of the first Wednesdays we've had a very positive day in a long time.
It's a positive Wednesday, but how cautious are you?
Oh, I'm always cautious. I hate to tell you.
I know that.
I think this is a good opportunity. I have been saying all along, and I will continue to say it, I believe July corn has been being beat up primarily because basis has been doing its job. It has been buying corn out of the countryside. When you see basis 80 over out in Kansas, and I have heard comments coming out of farmers now the last couple of days, come and talk to me when it's double that. That tells me that the farmer is now getting to a point where he's saying, you know, I have this many bushels left, I'll sit back now and I'm going to wait for a while. If that's the case, then I do think we will start to see some buying coming into the futures market because that's what it's going to take to get people to let go of the remaining corn. I mean, it's done a good job so far. The farmer sells because of better basis, and then the person buying it sells the board to protect themselves from having paid too much. It's held the board down to a manageable level. Obviously, they haven't gotten all the grain that they want, but we'll see once what happens. One day up is not a day to necessarily hang all of your hopes on.
So just be prepared for whatever the market happens to bring.
Take advantage. I mean, if you've been sitting here waiting to, waiting perhaps on the December or you look at November beans, 1238.75 today, really good close. You have to be prepared to take some action. And I would probably be in the more in the likelihood to do some type of put or something like that. You know, one of the things that I like to talk about, and you've heard me talk about it before, is, you know, you got to be prepared for whatever the market presents. And, you know, if you look at these guys, okay, our highest sales have come across the scale in the last few years. We've seen guys really disappointed with forward cash sales, especially last year because of the drought. Some guys paid $3.50 a bushel to buy back their contracts. In other cases, they've been really disappointed because they sold too early. Those are scary situations. I've got a quote from a guy named John Wooden that says, failure is not fatal, but failure to change might be. And just because we have a late-planted crop at this point in time does not mean we are not going to have a good crop. And so I think that the key is that when you see opportunities like this, if you are not prepared for whatever the market is going to give to you, take advantage of some of this.
Turn your attention to livestock market, cattle in particular.
Well, cattle, that's an interesting one now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We put in all-time high for box beef today at 211.04, and we just saw the cattle market just win, dwindle away and lose over a dollar. So it's down over a dollar to $1.20 right now. You know, I think primarily it's coming out of demand concerns. With these high box beef prices, they're saying, can grilling hold, continue to make beef move? The higher corn prices, of course, basically, didn't help anything, especially in the feeder cattle market where they lost 260 to 270. But I think that there is still some hope out there. When you look at grilling, I believe is going to be strong. And we also, when you hear packers talk, they've got cattle for right now, but boy, oh boy, they're very concerned about how many cattle are going to be available as we get into that June time frame. And that's why I think box beef prices are going wild, because they're just trying to lock up as much as they possibly can.
And then for hogs, it is grilling season, as you mentioned.
It is. You know, one of the other things we always think about at this time of year, you know, hogs have a tough time. You know, there's a reason they lay in water, because they can't sweat. And you usually end up with lighter weights at this time of year because it impacts intakes. No matter how good our buildings are and how well ventilated they are, you can only take so much humidity. The other side of it is, and this can be a double-edged sword. Dave and I talked about it a little bit this morning. They did find that virus in the piglets last week.
Right.
Well, ultimately, in the long run, the good news is it doesn't affect humans at all. But the bad news is that down the road, the size of the herd may be impacted by it, and therefore, when you look at that. That's given them enough, I guess, gumption to want to do some short covering. We still haven't been able to take out all of the highs that we've seen, and so I think that, it's one of those things where, I guess I might be wrong here. I think we did take out last Friday's high, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a bad girl I am. Anyway, I missed that right at the end. we did take it out. So our next goal then would probably be to go up here for the 200-day moving average, which is at 96. And I think that's going to be kind of a tough one to make. But, I'll take a step back to the cattle. Cattle are just dragging behind the cash index. And so at some point in time here, we're likely to see it pull up. But there's going to be competition coming from all of the cows and heifers that are getting slaughtered, too. We're seeing a lot of that going on in cow-calf herds because of a lack of pasture, and in some of our dairy herds because of a lack of alfalfa.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, and I'm glad you and Dad could go.
Oh, we had just a ball. Thanks so much.
Yep.
That's
bye-bye.
Jackie Vague. She's with Stuart Peterson. She's from right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, Dave Dick is here with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled in favor of Monsanto in a lawsuit filed by environmental groups and others that said Roundup Ready alfalfa was harming endangered species and causing spread of noxious weeds. The court found the Plant Protection Act does not regulate the type of harms that the plaintiffs complain of, concluding that Roundup Ready alfalfa was not a plant pest under the act. In addition, the court said that the Animal Plant and Health Inspection Service, or APHIS, did not violate the Plant Protection Act by not considering whether Roundup Ready alfalfa was a noxious weed. Two provisions of CFTC's proposed rules to enhance customer protections came under fire in a House Agriculture Committee hearing on the regulator's reauthorization on Tuesday. Futures industry leaders said the proposals on residual interest and capital charges would substantially increase the cost of hedging, essentially requiring customers to put up 2 to 3 times the amount of the initial margin requirement. That could require an additional $100 billion obligation from customers beyond the sum required to meet initial margin requirements. That, according to Walter Lutkin, president and CEO of the Futures Industry Association. Federal Chairman Ben Bernanke is telling Congress today that the U.S. job market remains weak and that it is too soon for the Federal Reserve to end its extraordinary stimulus program. In testimony to the Joint Economic Committee, Bernanke notes the economy is growing moderately this year, and unemployment has fallen to a four-year low of 7.5%, but still remains well above levels consistent with healthy economies. And Bernanke says higher taxes and deep federal spending cuts are expected to slow economic growth this year. Bernanke says reducing the Fed's efforts to keep borrowing rates low would, quote, carry a substantial risk of slowing or ending the economic recovery. A half dozen former U.S. trade representatives are saying that it's unlikely a Trans-Pacific Partnership Free Trade Agreement will be reached in 2013. Former U.S. Trade Rep William Brock pointed out that the president would need trade promotion authority to conclude the agreement and called on the White House to request that Congress grant the authority as soon as possible. The 17th round of TPP talks currently is taking place in Lima, Peru, with the next round tentatively scheduled for Malaysia in July, followed by a 19th round in Canada later this year. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. That second program you'll find up early this week. I'm going to record on Thursday as we head into the Memorial Day weekend and take Friday off, although Dave Dickey will be here in my slot for the Closing Mark Report that afternoon. Our guest for Commodity Week, Chad Hart, ag economist from Iowa State. Commodity Week up on the website by about 6 o'clock tomorrow evening.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. Scott Butcher of the Andersons, he's in their Logansport, Indiana facility, is on the phone line to take a look at the cash grain market. Scott, thanks for taking the time with us. I know farmers have been busy in the field. Probably means they haven't really been on the phone maybe too much with you, and certainly not in the trucks. What do you know?
Yeah, not a lot of activity lately, Todd. I mean, things have been slow. Continue to see some folks trying to get finished up. So, you know, it feels like over the next week or two, as we get into the month of June, we'll start to see another round of selling take place by the farmer. But we're not there yet today.
That'll have to be prompted by higher prices, I suspect, especially for old crop corn. Will that be the case?
Yeah, I mean, I really do feel like that's probably what we're set up for, is that, you know, everybody's looking for, you know, they've got some sort of target that they're looking for. Obviously, everybody still would like to see $8 again. Not really sure that that's in the cards for anybody, but, definitely feels like they're going to have to settle for, you know, somewhere in the mid-sevens.
All right, and what are your bids today?
Cash corn this evening, we are 719. Cash beans, 1554.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Scott Butcher is with the Andersons Climbers Facility. He's there in Logansport, Indiana. Joins us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk with Drew Lerner about the World Weather Incorporated's view of the weather forecast for the Midwest and China and the Southwest, where they continue to suffer a bit of drought.
Lernard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Lernard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270. This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Vanilla Pudding Day. The dessert Americans think of today is more related to custards than puddings. Early English puddings were either savory and meat-based or sweet with a base of flour, eggs, and sugar. By the 1930s, instant custard and pudding mixes were all the rage in the U.S. On this day in agricultural history in 1859, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was born. Doyle was the creator of that famed detective Sherlock Holmes. A close reading of The Valley of Fear shows Holmes was keenly interested in farming in his later years. Directly from the story, the friends of Mr. Sherlock Holmes will be glad to learn that he is still alive and well, though somewhat crippled by occasional attacks of rheumatism. He has, for many years, lived in a small farm upon the downs 5 miles from Eastbourne, where his time is divided between philosophy and agriculture. In 1931, canned rattlesnake went on sale for the first time, packed by George K. End of Arcadia, Florida. By the way, End's demise came at the fangs of a rattler. End refused to go to the hospital and instead treated the wound with a home remedy that he devised. The cure failed. In 1934, David Wesson died. An American chemist, he developed a method to make cottonseed oil edible. Cottonseed oil has almost no taste, so it allows the flavors of other foods to come through. It is used in the manufacture of margarine, salad dressings, and commercially fried foods, and of course, Wesson oil. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, many farmers across the state of Illinois, other parts of the Midwest, have planted a lot of corn, some soybeans, and a bit of rain has fallen, but I'm thinking they might like some dry weather to finish up the planting season. What is nature providing over the next week or so?
Well, I certainly think that we will have an opportunity to see some drier weather, especially in the lower parts of the Midwest. The Ohio River Basin in particular, and points further south, actually, will probably see quite a bit of dry weather as we move into June. But we do have a warm front that will be developing across the western portions of the Corn Belt here over the Friday-Saturday time period. And that front will eventually extend from Saskatchewan, Canada, all the way down into Illinois, and it will lift to the northeast from there. But so we will see some more rain and thunderstorms developing as we get closer to the weekend. And the drier weather that we'll have will actually be focused on the rest of the day today and probably most of tomorrow, maybe even into Friday. But after that, I think we'll be subjected to some more shower and thunderstorm activity. The northern half of Illinois and neighboring areas of eastern Iowa and northern Indiana will all be involved with some more moderate thunderstorm activity when that front comes through. At some point, a little later next week, we'll probably have another break from the precipitation.
And if you look to other places around the planet, for instance, in China, what kinds of conditions are they working through?
Well, most of China is doing very well this year. There hasn't been too much in the way of adverse weather. Probably the closest thing to a problem that I see at the moment is in the northeast corner where a large percentage of soybeans are produced. The area is seeing shower and thunderstorm activity rather frequently, just like we have here in the Midwest. And so planting is moving along, but a little bit on the slow side. Most of the corn crop got planted, but the soybeans are a little slow going in. That is for the far northeast corner of the country. The rest of the nation is doing really quite well. The winter wheat crop is reproducing in the north and spilling in the south. The rapeseed crop did very well. So I think most of China will at least continue to be on a road towards some pretty good crop development. Outside of that, Australia is still of interest because it's not raining like it should be across wheat, barley, and canola country. These areas need a significant amount of rain. They've had some sporadic showers, nothing real significant. And so field work is rather spotty across the country. And at this point, I don't see a lot of good rain coming up except for maybe a little bit in the east here today. And that's going to be it for about a week.
Since you're into wheat across the planet, can you come back to the United States? There are areas in the U.S. that are still suffering drought. Some of the hard red winter wheat growing regions of the U.S., the Great Plains, the Southwest, still suffering.
Absolutely. And the good news for that is that there's going to be quite a thunderstorm cluster developed on Thursday night of this week and going into Saturday for the Texas Panhandle and probably some of the neighboring areas in southwest Kansas and southeastern Colorado. These areas will see some light to moderate rain. There'll be probably a several county area in the Texas Panhandle could get more than 2 inches of rain. This will be significant, but it comes awful late in the growing season, and it's not really going to help that wheat crop a whole lot. After that, it gets hot and relatively dry with only spotty showers, and it's going to be really difficult to see any kind of further increase in soil moisture. So it's going to continue stressful for some of those southwestern areas.
Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up the closing market report. I'm Todd Gleason.